Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Hockey, yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
How about that? Back-to-back days of Judd's Hockey Show. Yesterday, it was Judd, AJ, and Bill Guerin. Today, it's Judd, AJ, and Jesse Pierce, so even better.
Who's more excited? I mean, let me ask you that. Are we more pumped on Billy or me? Tough act to follow.
It's a little tough act to follow, I mean, come on, Jesse. Don't sell yourself short. You know,
I'm a realist, down. Unlike Bill Guerin. I think I'm a realist.
Bar down beauties. You got, of course, the wild beat for NHL.com. And before we get to what Bill Guerin had to say, not only to us yesterday, but also Jesse, on Friday, he did his end of the season press conference. I just want to mention the fact that we have found out that Al Shaver, the legendary voice of the North Stars and probably my favorite broadcaster in the history of the state, passed away today at the age of 96. Now, you guys are probably both far too young to recall because Al was the voice of the North Stars for all 26 of their seasons, but that was 1967 to 1993. And he then did 3 years of Gopher hockey before retiring to Vancouver Island. But condolences to his family. And I mean, this guy was absolutely the soundtrack of the National Hockey League in this state for 26 years. Just absolutely fantastic at play-by-play, worked the road games alone, which in itself now is really impressive. Nobody called a fight like Al. Al had like the boxing background in announcing. He would call, and I mean, this is the day and age where you had haymakers being thrown. This ain't the wrestling matches that we see more now. This was haymakers, and Al was brilliant at calling those. So condolences to his son, Wally, and all of the Shaver family, but certainly a very meaningful broadcaster in my youth as far as falling in love with the North Stars, which then of course led to the Wild, which now leads me to my angst. So let's start there. Friday, Bill Guerin, players, end of season, no playoffs. Jesse, what were your primary takeaways from what you heard from both sides in covering what was essentially the Wild's attempt to spin a positive future because the present sort of stunk?
I mean, it was a very odd locker room cleanout. Usually you can feel a lot of disappointment, and not to say that there wasn't disappointment, but it didn't have that very heads hung low, oh man, we're pissed off, oh man, we're sad. Like, it just kind of felt like, hey, you know, see you next year. That was fun. Thanks for hanging out. You know, I joked, I think, on this week's episode of Bar Down Beauties that it felt like a yearbook signing. Like, okay, thanks. Good to see you. Have a kick ass summer.
Hags.
You know, like,
yearbooks.
Yeah, hock us. Like,
best summer ever.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if it's because maybe we as media member had already beat to death every problem that had gone wrong. You weren't going to learn a heck of a whole lot new. You did learn that Jared Spurgeon has been skating for the past month, so he is on track. You got an update on Marcus Foligno, who hasn't started skating just yet, but isn't concerned. And obviously you found out that Brock Faber had been playing with broken ribs for about 2 months, which is even more impressive to what he's achieved this year. Otherwise, I don't think that we learned a lot because there wasn't much to ask about. Everybody's locked under contract. I tried to bait and hook Bill Guerin to give me something on Marcus Johansson and Freddie Gaudreau by saying, hey, you know, how did you feel they played this year? And what are their futures like for the Minnesota Wild? And the first thing he said was, because he knew what I was doing, he's like, well, they're under contract, so their future is with the Minnesota Wild. And I was like, it's not what I wanted to hear. But in the same breath, Bill Guerin had had said that he's willing to make some moves and trade some pieces if he can. So it was kind of a very ho-hum closeout, if you ask me. Again, I think we as media members were like, well, there's not much to pry at because there's not much there. I know, credit to Sarah McClellan of the Star Tribune, did ask Kirill Kaprizov if, you know, if this team doesn't make the playoffs next year, do you start questioning your future? And Kirill said, who said we don't make the playoffs? I hope to make the playoffs next year. So he spun it himself too. But I thought that was a fair question. I know a lot of people on the Twitter sphere weren't exactly happy with it, but it's reasonable to ask because they need to win now. You want to keep Kirill happy. Matt Zuccarello wasn't the only thing keeping Kirill Kaprizov happy.
Age, go ahead.
Yeah. And the kind of the clean out comments and whatnot. I mean, to Bill's credit, I think he does shoot straight a lot of the time. And on your point there, Jesse, like he said, their contracts are with the Wild, so their future belongs here. He didn't specify the length of those futures, though. So whether that's a month or two before possible buyouts, possible, you know, hey, let's maybe waive some of these no moves, or if it's actually into next year. So did he lie? No. Did he, you know, did he like stay within the kind of the realm of what he can say accurately? Yes, absolutely. And so that's where it's a waiting game. I think he very much kind of walks the line sometimes, and credit to him on that. But, you know, there was nothing that was, I think he beat around the bush on too much. And the talk of what Judd brought up to him yesterday when we had him on the show was Ryan Hartman's comments about, hey, past years, I wouldn't want to play us. This year, that wasn't the case. And that was something that was addressed. And it looks like come this offseason, they've got a little money to spend in free agency. He's going to look to maybe address that issue. And hopefully by this time next year or opening night of next season, that issue has been addressed. And they're a team that when guys come to the XL Energy Center, they're like, you know what? This is going to be a brutal night. This is going to be three periods of hell. And we want to get out of St. Paul.
So the thing too is when I did pose the question about what Hartman had said, which was to me the most revealing thing that anyone said that day, because that's really damning his team. Bill Guerin's response was, I'm glad he said it, but then he's like, and he has to help fix that, which is also 1,000% right. He's like, I'm glad he realizes that, but now it's on him to help fix that. And, you know, back to your point about the tone, while I do think Guerin was pissed off, and I do not think missing the playoffs ever sits well with him, which is another topic entirely in some ways. But on the players, you know, I think when you're in the playoffs and you've worked for a playoff berth, the sudden end to a playoff series is sort of hard. Even if you didn't really have a chance because you made the tournament, you're like, I sort of had a chance and now I'm out. There was, and this is the weird thing about this team, Jesse, there was a disturbing resignation to their fate far too often that I think what you're saying sort of mirrors what the season was all about, right? Mm-hmm. Which was, and again, they were way too often, they were soft, not hard to play against, and really very disappointing. And this is what I didn't like. They very much were a team that looked prepared to go play golf.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't like because, you know, it's one thing not to have talent. It's another not to use the talent that you do have. And that's where I felt they fell woefully short in sort of lapsing into these long spans of not playing well or spans.
If this team, let me be very, very clear, if this Minnesota Wild team this season that we saw made the playoffs, they would be dummied by any single team that they had faced, whether so it true. Was Dallas, whether it was Colorado. I mean, you have no chance. Yes, you can make all the jokes you want about getting out of the first round. I'm talking zero capability to probably win a game in the series. It just, they don't match up on paper. They don't match up in the real thing. You might score a goal, you might not. I mean, you look at the Colorado Winnipeg series and you look at the way that Dallas is playing too, and you know, even Vegas deserves that shot. LA deserves their positioning, so does Nashville. And I mean, Minnesota, you're right, Judd, just, I don't want to say they didn't care, because they did. And again, they made a very strong case for themselves once Dean Evason was fired and after the All-Star break. I mean, I will give them all of the credit in the world that they didn't just hang their hats and give up toward the end of the season as it seemed more and more likely that they would miss the playoffs. But yeah, it's that ho-hum, okay, well, this is right. Our fate. It is what it is, right? And it's like, well
put.
That's not what we should be doing. I mean, they're very quick to say you're not making excuses. We're not blaming it on injuries. But you kind of did because you're like, well, we can't do this without them and we can't do this without him. And it's like, well, tougher teams, you're right. I hate calling a team soft because I know how that is the one chirp that hockey players cannot seem to tolerate. But it does. It has a level of softness to it where it's like, you shouldn't be okay with this. You shouldn't be ready to get out on the golf course. It's great that you're checking out Timberwolves games and it's great you're going to see the Twins. And, you know, we should support other sports in Minnesota. But
sure,
man, you wanna see a little bit of that bitterness still left in their mouth, I think, for a little bit.
Where's Kirill sitting at Wolves games? And why is he not courtside? Like,
you going to kick JJ out? Wasn't JJ there that same night?
JJ, game one, courtside. Kirill, yeah. I talked to someone who said that they saw Kirill and some players and took pictures, but it was like getting a beer in the concourse.
Yeah, it was Brodes, Kirill, and yeah. Zuki. And you know what? Brodes was double fisting. I thought immediately of you and how proud you would be of Jonas.
I was actually proud of Brodes for that. Yeah. Incredibly consistent yes. as far as his sport goes and drinking. But why are these guys not? Why is Kirill like, okay, call two courtside seats? I ain't giving them all courtside seats. I mean, Jordan Addison, the Vikings, game two. He was courtside last night. Are you telling me Kirill Kaprizov can't get courtside?
I got a thought. You know, team first is everything for hockey players. So I feel like that's probably it, right? Like two of the guys aren't going to go sit courtside. They yeah. want the whole group together. So I think that's your easy answer, right? Is because he wants to sit with his boys.
Murat would sit courtside.
Dude, Murat's got some style.
Yeah, I mean, he would sit courtside.
He's got some swag.
You know
he
what?
Probably sit courtside.
If he's good, and who knows, right? Like, we don't know yet. If he's good, I'd be much more concerned about his desire to stay in this town than Kirill. Yeah. I keep going back to Kirill strikes me as a guy. Now, if the Wild's a dumpster fire, he's probably gone. But, you know, people forget now, Gabrick, and I asked Bill about this, Gabrick had, like, New York in his eyesight yeah. for, you know, he wanted the Big Apple. He wanted that. Kirill doesn't strike me as that. Murat does, though. The picture at the Twin or outside after the Twins game, yeah. he's got some style, and you can sort of see he's separating himself from his teammates because he's like, I got more style than like Brock, who's got a Twins jersey on, classic. One of those fanatic cheap ones. I love that.
You know what, Murat? It's funny because you could kind of tell that even in the conversations we have. Like, I still go back to when we're like, "Hey, how did you feel when you know the fans were cheering for you because you won two faceoffs in a row?" And he's like, "Ooh." Two phase, right? Like, I mean, that's super telling too. He's like, I'm not impressed by this. This shouldn't impress you.
And he's
guys.
Russian.
Like, he was, yeah. Like,
but I mean, you know, Kirill, God bless him, wouldn't say two words for fear of it being interpreted wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you asked that question immediately, and he like shot back. This guy, West or East Coast is my guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's going to grow tired of the vanilla here, I think, pretty quickly.
Oh, geez. What's Brock doing tonight?
Sorry, Murat. Jesse, really quick, that picture that you posted, who was the guy next to Murat?
I have no idea. And it's funny because a lot of people were like, I think it's Declan Chisholm. And I will admit, Declan Chisholm is one guy I haven't seen enough that I would pass him on the street. The rest of the players I would have a pretty good idea yeah. of, right, in street clothes. It's not Declan Chisholm. And I don't think it's not a Wild guy.
Oh, you don't think it is?
I don't think it is.
My guess was like an Ogren maybe or a Chisholm because I don't know their faces, but okay.
Yeah, it's not Chisholm or Ogren.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Ogren, very good looking young man.
Yeah, he's got some size to him too. Like,
yeah,
he's stout.
But I mean, the guy who was standing there looks just sort of like an ordinary dude, which is fine.
He looks like he's like Brock's friend.
Yeah, okay. Which is no surprise, right? I grew up with him in Maple Grove. His name's Teddy.
Yeah. Here's the guy we're talking about later.
In fact, if we could get that picture, I don't know, Age, if it's possible to transfer that and stick it up on the screen. Because it is the most, like, hockey guy picture of all time.
Can we just pretend, too, that they were all, like, two people per scooter? You know, like, Kirill in front of
Toby. You know what's funny? I was actually going to tweet and object to the scooter, especially with Kirill at all.
yeah, you could get seriously. Those things cruise.
Declan does it. Our Declan.
Yeah.
Takes them from the Twins game to his car.
Yeah.
And they scare me, but I don't want Kirill Kaprizov anywhere near a scooter. I don't want that.
I mean, I'm sure he, again, they're not double scooting, but I'm sure he.
I don't care if they're single scooting, double scooting. They're pro athletes. Yeah. They like speed. I don't care if they're boot scooting. Yeah. I want Boldy out. Faber out. Hartman, you go scoot your little butt off all you want.
Those things are fun, though. I do love them.
They scare me way too much.
You got a couple drinks in you. You just.
Okay, see? This is what I'm talking about, kids. It's a terrible idea. It sounds like fun. It's a terrible idea.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
One thing Bill did, he didn't really confirm, but we pressed him a little bit. That might be too strong. We asked him about free agency on the show yesterday, Jess. And I'm like, big defenseman? And he's like, oh, we're pretty good on the blue line. Like, we've got guys on the blue line. So anyway, but here's what he did say. Basically, and I think Age would agree with this, basically confirmed he would like some size up front. So the free agent target might be, you know, I speculated a second line wing. They definitely want some size up front. And I will say this, I would love to see them, if they're going to get a veteran, it be a guy who could score some goals and has some swagger. This team, to be fair, if we're not going to say that they quit, or are soft, because you're right, those things are really, really strong to say, Jesse.
They are.
But if we're to say this team was disappointing, they lacked a ton of swagger, I think that's a very fair thing to say. And I would love to see them come back with somebody who adds that, who adds the Ryan Reeves swagger, but is far more playable. Maroon might have been the intention to be that guy, but he's really a fourth line guy on like the Bruins right now. It's perfect. So can you get a guy who brings some swagger and can score some goals and gives you a little bit more of an edge to sort of complement what Foligno gives you a little bit, but they really lack elsewhere, in my opinion.
Well, and if you're looking, though, somebody in the top six, you need somebody. I think the biggest thing he's probably looking at, somebody to finish Matt Zuccarello's passing. Because Matt Zuccarello, he even joked about that, too. You know, for the past 14 or 15 seasons, he's promised himself he would shoot more, and it's just not in his DNA. Like, he's like, this is another year that I'm going to try to shoot more, and he's just not that person. Marcus Johansson is not the guy to finish off a Matt Zuccarello. Amen. Marco Rossi improved on that, but I think, yeah, a winger to complement him. So not only do you need size, though, you need the scale, right? Like, you need somebody that can keep up with that. So I think Billy's looking for a little bit of a unicorn in what he can afford, right? I don't know what that's able to do. However, there has been speculation about Marco Rossi continues to swirl around, even from our good friend Michael Russo at The Athletic, gave a little fanning to that fire. If you do that, though, I think instead of a wing, you need a center back, right? I don't love the idea.
No.
But, you know, I don't know.
No. Age, your thoughts? Because I've grown to hate this unless you absolutely make a killing on Rossi potentially being dealt.
I feel like it's one of those you want to reap the benefit, like the reap the fruits of what you've put into, like the work you put into Marco Rossi. And now you finally see, like, okay, the bananas are going from green to yellow all of a sudden. Why would you bring them to market now when you know you need potassium at some point, you know?
So good. You're just so good with us.
There's no,
he's not wrong.
No, nobody's off limits ever. You know, if you get the right package. I mean, if Gretzky can get traded, by God, Marco Rossi can get traded.
Yeah. Sure.
But I need, like Jesse said, you need the right return. And for how long have we been saying the Wild need a center? They don't have, they need a 1-2 punch at center. And I think now you have Joel Eriksson-Ek, who's a very solid one or two guy, depending on maybe who's with him. Marco Rossi seemed like he was the complement to that. now you're just going to send that away in hopes that either Khusnadinov can rise to the occasion, or you're going to find somebody, or you're going to have somebody else come up. It just seems, I'll just say silly. It seems silly to even like think about the notion just because he's undersized. But I guess, you know, if you really think that you have to, and maybe you've handcuffed yourself in other spots, if that's the only way to go, then I guess I understand it. But you need to get a meaningful return back so that it softens the blow of letting a guy who I think everybody can agree is one of the easier guys that has played for this team to root for in a long time, just have him walk out the door for something.
Here's what worries me about Billy G hitting free agency. He's going to come back with like a David Perron, or he's going to come back. You know what I mean? Like he's, yeah. I'm looking at the free agents right now in the area of what they could afford. It's 36-year-old David Perron. It's 34-year-old TJ Brody. It's, I mean, I don't, you, maybe you get Anthony Beauvillier.
Could you splash for a Tyler Bertuzzi? Or Tyler Bertuzzi?
Like some Tyler Bertuzzi. That's,
can they afford that? Because you threw that out yesterday, Age. And I mean, that to me, and he can be dumb at times, but there's swagger there.
Yeah.
There's swag like that. That at least intrigues me more because, you know, I agree with you, Jesse, completely. But at this point in time with this team, Perron, come on, we've tried that before.
Bertuzzi's, I mean, 5.5. So
is he having, is my memory serving me wrong, or did he have a down ish season for him, or am I just making that up?
Yeah, no, he did.
43 points. It's not terrible.
No. He was up and down a little bit, though.
He was up. Yeah. Like I think he picked it up toward the end.
Okay.
Like the middle was kind of a hot mess for him.
Yeah. He got paid off of the playoff run with Boston or what he did in Boston, right? Because mm-hmm. he went from like Detroit to Boston, yep. and then the Leafs signed him, and I don't think the Leafs can afford him now. Right. So, like, that's an interesting name. Now, my question, and Bill just sort of said we'll be okay, was what's your cap like now? Like, what's the cap going to be? What's your, because you still have 1 year of obvious cap restraints left. I don't know if you could do a contract structure with Bertuzzi that would get creative. I'm not sure in that league how creative one can get. But, you know, Bertuzzi intrigues me a lot more. If they're going to go down the path of a 36-year-old, then I'm just out right now because mm-hmm. I don't think that that's what this team needs, because like Maroon, he's a winner, but it didn't really work here.
No.
And this team's not ready. You know, I mean, Pat Maroon probably needs to be on teams that are set to pop, and he is a final ingredient. You know, here it was like, we need too much. So I did think it was interesting though, that he did come back to forward, and Jesse, you might be right too. It might be a center, and Rossi might be dealt. I don't like it, but
yeah. Well, because really, you're losing Alex Goligoski. That's $2 million a year. Lucchini, I think, is $775 million. You've got Dakota Mermis, $775 million. So you're not reaping a lot of money back from guys that are probably going to walk. You know, Chisholm's an RFA. I think Mason Shaw's an RFA too. So those guys probably stick around. Yeah, your last year of the salary cap hit, you're still hurting. I just don't see how you have money to maneuver around without trading somebody. Brandon Dillon's another name that I don't hate, I guess, out of Winnipeg. I know Minnesotans will have an issue with that in and of itself.
You'll like him in your locker room.
Yeah, exactly. I think he'd be fine. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I mean, everybody it's old. They're just old.
They're too old.
They're so old. Patrick Kane, how about that? How does that jive with people, though, huh?
You know,
2.75. That's it.
So the word is on Kaner is that he is that about a week and a half ago, at the end of the season or so, he was very set on, sounded like coming back resigning with Detroit. Shortly after that, his tune has changed. And the theory is, and this would probably be a problem here. The theory is he wants security now because he's come back and, you know, from the hip resurfacing, which is a big deal, but he played really well, and that he wants a security at his age is what, 3 years probably?
At least two.
But, and I don't know if he would want to go to a place where he wouldn't feel he could win, but I have heard that like there's a chance he could go back to the Blackhawks, and who knows there. It's an interesting name.
Bring Tyson Jost back.
Caner to me is an interesting one to keep an eye on, just from the standpoint of I don't know where he's going to land, and you can't dismiss anything when it comes to Bill because of his love for vets. Tyson Jost.
I like how you just skimmed right by that one. I'm just saying
you completely.
He's available. You know what? Casey Mittelstadt will go to Colorado probably again, but he's another one.
And he gets paid, right?
He'll get paid. He's only at 2.5 right now.
My only thing about like Patrick Kane is that doesn't fit what I think Bill has kind of talked about. Like if you want to add some size and some grit and that physicality, sure, that's just not Patrick Kane. As flashy and as good as he is, and maybe still has left in the tank. Like, I feel like if you're going to trade a guy like Marco Rossi and then you have maybe some stuff to work with and now you can jumble the lines up, like you're just replacing him with an older version of himself that can score more. That's what Patrick Kane would be.
Yeah, and Kane is also, I unless it's Chicago, because that's his team, unless it's the Blackhawks, I don't see Patrick Kane going to a place where it's probably like to be a mentor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like he wants a win, so yeah. You're probably right there. But it's interesting. So, Jesse, back to what Garen said about the blue line. He basically said, we've got, you know, Faber, we've got Brodin, Middleton, Bogosian, Chisholm, who they do have to bring back, right?
Yeah, Declan I would Chisholm think so. I think back. He did a very, okay. And Bill Guerin called him out specifically too, saying, you know, he was a guy that they were really impressed with this year. So I imagine he's back for sure.
But he seemed to be pretty happy with what they have. So, and they do have some kids there. I think they see Bogosian as the bigger defenseman. Like, I would like to see them just be bigger on the blue line. I look at, and yes, they've done a really good job of it, but like the Golden Knights got all that bleep kicking size. I'd like to see that. I mean, Spurge is coming back, but he ain't getting any taller, and he ain't getting heavier. And I have some concerns of a guy coming back from, you know, two surgeries at his age that we have no idea if this is going to work out and that he'll still be the same player he was previously.
I don't know. Zach Attack's looking just fine. It was the same surgery. Parisi's out there scoring goals in the playoffs, you know.
All you need is Connor Hellebuck dancing behind the goal in order to have that happen.
You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say this is a blue liner that they're going to bring back, and I don't even care. I'm pretty damn certain. Matt Dumba. Matt Dumba is going to be back.
You keep saying that.
I'm saying it. The vibes are right for it. Hey, he would have scored in the playoffs himself last night if Bobrovsky didn't completely, whatever that grab was, an incredible save. Yes,
it was like a butt save.
Incredible. I just feel like he's going to be cheap. He's going to be like $1 million.
And he wants to come back here.
He wants to come back here.
God, you're probably right.
But you know what, though? Again, after seeing, I'm sorry, Alex Goligoski and John Merrill, huge step up would be Matt Dumba. And it's got your size. It's speedy. It's got the offense.
You just like him because he's a good quote in the locker room.
Yeah. You know, it's been a little quiet in there.
Yeah, it has been quiet. Well, you know, to your point, he does. Now, he can make some incredibly bad plays, but he does have that swagger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was definitely well-liked. That place just felt like a morgue. Like, when, and it's not like we saw them all in there, but the players, it just felt like a morgue. They do need something. And it was Matt that choreographed, like, all the tunes, right?
Yeah, all the fun. It didn't feel like a morgue. It felt like your grandma's house, where you're like, okay, fine, we'll go do this again.
Here
are these Werthers. Enjoy them. Yeah, it's also because they're old.
Unfortunately, very close to a morgue, Jesse, when you're going to your grandparents' house. So
good point.
It's very close. All right, let's wrap up with playoffs. Here's my first thought, sort of a question. What are the Maple Leafs doing with this William Nylander situation? He played in every regular season game. He might have got hurt in game 82. We're not so sure. But he is now, it looks like he's going to be scratched for game 3. This is ridiculous. And I tweeted this again. Explain this. So all of these sports, including hockey, are now in bed with gambling, right? How do you justify leaving the public out in the dark on a key player being hurt when you know internally everybody knows what's wrong? When, you know, internally, they know when he's coming back, what's hurt. I don't understand how hockey gets away with basically lying and circumventing the truth about guys being hurt, because this one, to me, if I was league, I was like, you guys are going to make a statement and, you know, you're going to tell people what's wrong here. I just, the whole thing has me so frustrated because it's so minor league.
It's a weird, it just gives it a weird vibe. Like, what is going on, right? Again, he's one of your top superstars in Toronto. You already, there's been so many dramatics surrounding him in that organization in general, as far as his contract extension goes, what he deserves, his holdout, all of that. But leading to the gambling point, you're right. I mean, Betway and DraftKings, I think, are completely on board with the NHL. And that also speaks to, tell us your freaking goalie. Why don't you let us know who is starting? Yes. My God, this isn't a big deal.
Like, great point. Well, and for gambling, it is a big deal. Though.
Yes.
No, yeah. You're exactly right.
And the thing is, wasn't he, they had an optional skate, the Maple Leafs did, after game one. They lost 5-1. He was one of five guys that showed up. But ignore him getting scratched, hurt, whatever it was. You just got pumped for five goals in game one of the playoffs against a team that has owned you for the past decade. And you have five guys show up to an optional practice. What are we doing, Toronto? Such an unserious team. Such an unserious team.
I don't think Sheldon Keefe is great. Yeah, they're very soft.
Pappy is soft.
They're Pappy. Pappy. Pap, what's up? Tea times, boys? Do we got tea times yet? Coach Chippy's got a great one right now about tea times. I guess we'll have to delay the tea times.
I guess we'll have to delay the tea times. I guess we have to keep playing.
Hey, Pat, what's up? Okay, Jesse, your playoff thought.
Oh, it's so good. I do. I recommend Coach Chippy. Only for the Toronto Maple Leafs content, because that's probably my favorite.
Oh, Coach Chippy's great. And Phil Kessel.
Yeah, hey, what's going on?
The Marshy. Marshy.
Marshy. He's got the rat nose.
See, we're cool. We're hip. Playoff thoughts. I've been loving it, right? Like,
it is great.
It's been hard because I've been wanting to check in on the Timberwolves, but last night it worked out. All the channels were in a row there on my brand new cable. I got two playoff games for hockey. Got to watch the Wolves as well. It was nice.
Yeah, that's how it works. 863, 864, 865.
Yeah, it was
See how great it is to have cable.
Who knew? Who knew? No, I mean, I really am invested in the Winnipeg Colorado series. I think that's going to be a really good one. I don't know who I want. Unpopular? A non-favorite, unpopular. That's the word. Maybe an unpopular opinion. I like Winnipeg in the playoffs, man. Like, I freaking love it. Like, I enjoy them. I enjoy watching them. And their fans are really fun too. I'd say that one. And then Carolina. Carolina's just so good. I picked the Dallas Stars in New York for the finals, and I picked the Dallas Stars to win. So
to go back to the Jets fans, how about game one? You talk about great chance when Gorgiev was just basically sieving out, and the fans in Winnipeg are chanting, pull your goalie, pull the goalie. The Winnipeg fans are merciless. I guess they were talking about this on the 32 Thoughts podcast, that when Ryan Miller came back or played a game, I think it was for the Sabres at the time, against the Jets in Winnipeg after the Olympics, the chant was silver medal. And they just so hounded good. Him with silver medal.
Yeah.
That is brutal.
Their fan base is so good.
So
I can't get it. It's just
chippy.
Yes.
So chippy. But yeah, that's a great one. Dallas and the Vegas Golden Knights, is going to be great too, I think.
I think so too. I haven't, admittedly, the only big one I haven't really watched, I haven't watched Nashville and Vancouver too much. I just kind of get a little like,
it's too late.
Out. Yeah. I just, yeah.
I got to go to bed for that one.
Same.
Till it gets back now with two games done to Nashville, in which case I can watch it. Age, your playoff thoughts?
I mean, it's been really hectic so far, which is exactly what you want. I kind of enjoyed seeing it's a weird, we don't get to experience this as that often outside of the first round, obviously, as, you know, people that cover follow the Wild. But it's kind of fun to like mix in an off year where you just have no stakes in the game whatsoever. You can just kind of kick your feet up and relax. You're not hanging on every face off, every whistle. Like, Dallas Stars fans were at each other's throats after one game. Like, it's so fun to watch. The only team that I'm actively rooting against right now is the LA Kings. I hope the Oilers sweep them solely for that pitiful Monday performance in the final week of the season against the Wild. Cost them a draft pick.
I don't think they belong in that series. And they were at their best. They're very good defensively. But you're really parading Cam Talbot out there as your guy.
Cam Talbot. He's a playoff goalie. Why isn't he playing in the playoffs? Because wins aren't goalie stats. I'm still not over it. I'm sorry. I'm still not over it. I went to war about that. Wins are not goalie stats. Cam Talbot was not a good goalie then. He's not a good goalie now.
I hope Zach Hyman has a million goals right on top of the crease and just puts
He's got three already?
Yeah.
My hero.
My hero.
That's because he's privileged. He grew up rich, and that's why he's a good hockey player.
He has that privilege to get right to the front of the net.
The one thing that
silver spoon.
Back to Jesse's point from before, the one thing that this has confirmed completely is thank God the Wild didn't make it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, right.
Like you're so right. Like I watch the pace of these games, you know.
It wouldn't be fun. Like it would not be fun to watch. Like you certainly get, like AJ had mentioned, you get that level of anxiety, right? Like you can't sleep. You're waiting for puck drop. You're just anxious. I don't even think I would feel that. I don't think fans would feel that. I don't think you would be excited to watch because I don't think, you would know the outcome. Like, yeah, it would just
As a fan, it wouldn't be fun to watch them. Like, they would just not be competitive enough. So, these are good teams. That 1-8 is an incredible matchup.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be like the Capitals. Like, I feel bad for Capitals fans this postseason because I think they know they don't belong. They're the odd team out as bad as I think we all agree maybe LA is too. But it's just like, it's like getting a tour of a slaughterhouse. Like, you know what's going to happen, and there's no hope that the piggy escapes. Like, you know what's at the end of this ride. So.
The last thing I will say is this. If I was Bill Guerin and John Hines, I would take my entire team, sit them down, and put on the Timberwolves' first two playoff games. Because if you want defense, like when we talk about time and space in the playoffs is gone, and it's just hard work, the Timberwolves are putting on a clinic. And the former North Star coach, Pierre Paget, told me years ago, he said, I watch basketball a lot because there's actually a lot in basketball as far as play structure goes and as far as systems go that can be taken to hockey. If you watch, like, Jaden McDaniels.
I was going to say, who's coming in off the bench Jaden to McDaniels, go and do the thing?
The Wild needs one of those. Like, this guy is, I mean, Devin Booker can't breathe. Yeah. That's what you want, right? Yeah. Like when teams play Kirill tough, like when's the last time, in fact, I'll tell you, the last time the Wild had anyone who could do what the Wolves are doing or what teams can do to Kirill in the playoffs was Wes Walls with Peter Forsberg in 2003 in the first round against the Avs when Peter Forsberg couldn't turn around without Walls being right there. Mm. So, Billy, Johnny Hines, put your team in front of some very nice big plasma TVs. Have them watch the Wolves and have them understand that's the price to pay for playoff success because it's a lot of hard work.
Wes could still play.
I know he could. Wes used to come out in his sweatpants after games. He's the only guy I've ever seen do this. He used to come out in his sweatpants and a t-shirt after games and skate. Wow. After games.
Incredible.
The hell of a story. It's price to pay. It's what Brooks wanted. 1980. What's the name on your jersey? Or where are you from? Boston College. Minnesota.
Boston University.
And then finally, play for the United States of America. Damn right.
That's all, gentlemen.
That'll be all.
Still tear up.
Tell them all lock up. Before we wrap up, I wanted to get you, I know, Judd, you and I kind of talked about this last week, but Jesse, I want to hear your thoughts on this. The full list of trademark submitted names for the new Utah franchise, hockey club, whatever, it's now the Utah Mammoth, the Utah Ice, the Utah Yetis, the Venom, the Fury, the Blizzard, the Outlaws, and then Hockey Club. Any of those pique your interest? Do you hate any of those? Do you have any other suggestions?
Can we stop with the ice? Like every time ice and blizzard need to never, ever be like people like every time there's a hockey team that comes around, they're like, I know ice blizzard because hockey. Like, no, stop. Like, it's exhausting. I can't stand those. Shout out to the Minnesota Mallards, a new NHL team that came to Bouts and Forests. Like, love the Minnesota Mallards.
That's
a great
name.
I don't hate Fury or Venom just because I think the colors and the jerseys could look super sick. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of feeling like black and purple, like old LA Kings kind of coloring, right? Like little gray in there, maybe. Right?
I like that.
Somebody had mentioned to me like the Stallions because horses are very big in Utah, I guess. I feel like that's a Montana thing, but maybe it's a Utah thing. There's that one. Otherwise, no, I don't know. I don't really love Yeti or Mammoth. I guess it just, it seems a little too cheeky.
What's Utah known for? You bring up a good question.
Mormons. I think horses and then parks and stuff, like very naturey. They could have the wild.
Yeah, give them the wild. Well, that's funny.
Oh, I said trade it. I've suggested trade that. It. Trade them the yes. wild. Yeah. Trade them the name.
Yeah. Like they're very nature first. Like they got the mountains and stuff. I don't know.
So what's the logo for the Yeti?
It's like gritty, except probably white, right? Like you're looking at a gritty.
Yeah.
Because the team mascots have gotten unhinged since Gritty came about. You're looking at Bowie over in Seattle. He's terrifying.
Yeah, Gritty has turned the only mascot more unhinged, I think, in pro sports than the Flyers is the baby that they use for the Pelicans.
Cake Baby.
Yeah, that's Cake Baby scares.
Cake
I mean,
Baby's Cake Baby. It's
a nightmare. It's the stuff that nightmares are made of.
Every once in a while, I'll send my best friend, because I like to just creep her out, I'll just send her pictures of that. She's like, stop sending me this mascot. And I was like, I will never. Do you ever see, they did like a video too of Cake Baby in just really terrifying situations, like where he'll be at like the end of the hallway. It's so good.
Yeah, it's good until it happens. And then you know what? Then you're done. Cake Baby kills you. End of story. Speaking of end, that's it. It's been a very entertaining, all over the map, a Judd's Hockey Show. Jesse, AJ, Judd, we'll be back soon. I don't know exactly when. Talk to you.